From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and you're listening to Idaho Matters. So here's something you may not know. Here in the United States, 36% of farmers are female. Here in Idaho, that number goes up to 39%. Now, despite those numbers, when many of us close our eyes and we imagine what a farmer or a rancher looks like, I bet we picture a man. Well, this is an image that Colette DePhelps is trying to change. She's an area extension educator with the University of Idaho, and she specializes in community food systems. She's working on a project right now that focuses on understanding and supporting women in agriculture, specifically farm operators and ranchers right here in the Gem State. And she's joining us today to talk more about this. Colette, nice to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So can we start the conversation just by you telling us a little bit more about this project and how it got started?
Sure. So historically, in terms of research, we know a lot from interviewing women farmers and ranchers and maybe doing focus groups, and we call that qualitative research. So it's really case study, person by person gathering of information. But there hadn't been a lot of quantitative analysis, really looking at the numbers around women in agriculture. And so our project really wanted to understand how we could best support women farmers and ranchers. And to do that, our research team took a three-pronged approach. So we looked at Census of Agriculture data, which gave us a lot of numbers to understand women farmers and ranchers, not only in Idaho, but across the U.S. And then in Idaho, we delved deeper and we did 7 focus groups with women farmers and ranchers. And then we did a statewide survey. So ultimately, our goal is really to support the prosperity of women operated farms and ranchers. And to do that, we have to know a lot more about what women farmers and ranchers needs are.
So I shared a couple of numbers at the beginning of the program, but can you give us a better idea then of how many women are actually working in agriculture?
Sure. In Idaho, we have over 17,000 women farmers and ranchers. And about 70% of Idaho farms have at least one woman operator. So what that means is that considering like senior farmers, senior partners in the farm, about 45% of Idaho's farmers that are in a senior role are actually women. So that's a huge percentage of our farmers and ranchers.
It's a bigger percentage than I would have ever expected. And when people hear that number, I mean, do they kind of have a similar reaction that I do?
I think so. And I think it's because of what you talked about, you know, at the beginning of our conversation, is that we have this image in America of farmers being male, ranchers being male. And we have a lot of imagery that, and even folklore, like Old MacDonald has a farm, that supports that idea. And because we haven't really put women's faces out as leaders in agriculture, I think that women haven't been understood as being those primary farmers. And so this project really gives us an opportunity to talk about women farmers and ranchers and to better understand how we can support their farms and ranches being more profitable.
So are female farmers and ranchers facing similar challenges as men in the same profession, or are there some differences there?
There are definitely some differences. So we have a phenomenal research team that was able to use the 2017 Census of Agriculture data to really understand the difference in net farm income between farms that are operated as the primary operator as a man or a woman. And what they found that there's 151% difference, which means for every dollar a woman makes, a man makes $2.50. So this really makes agriculture farm operation as one of the most gender unequal operations in the U.S. But delving into why that is, it really looks at women have less land. They have less holdings of buildings, machinery, and equipment that are really important for being able to operate as the scale and level of efficiency that you need to be very successful in agriculture. So when you look at the scale of operation, that accounts for about 80% of that gap. So what that means is that historically, women have not been seen as farm operators. We have a patrilineal inheritance system or farm succession in agriculture in this country. And so oftentimes women did not actually, they did not inherit the farm. And even today, we see that we still have more patrilineal lines of succession in agriculture. And so without having access to that, you know, land, machinery, and equipment, women are disadvantaged in terms of being able to build and scale their farm operations. So we see that in the census. But then when we interviewed women and we did our statewide survey, women told us that the biggest barriers for their for them to be able to grow their farm business included access to capital, access to land, labor, and then also child rearing responsibilities. And then many, 80% of the women that we interviewed had an off-farm job. And so that also took time away from their farm operation.
So then what can be done to maybe help and try to close some of these gaps that you found and that you just talked about when we're looking at male and female farmers?
So I think part of what we can do is that we can be really intentional about making sure that we offer agricultural programming, educational programming in a way that women can access that. And what we found from our research is that there is a lot of diversity, but most often women are looking for in-person educational programming that is pretty close to home and that is right around a half a day, that that works for them best. We also know that we need to really think about when we're scheduling that programming. So we're scheduling it not at the time where you're getting kids ready and dropping them off for school or maybe needing to pick them up or be home when they get off the bus. So thinking about those things, also thinking about having more virtual educational programming that can be accessed at any time, whether, you know, so we're recording that programming and we're making it available when women can actually access it. And within that, we really need to focus on business development and business education. And so we're really looking at how can we help women farmers and ranchers really hone their business and marketing skills, and then do more analysis as to what are their most profitable enterprises. And when I talk about enterprises, it might be looking at whether your flour enterprise is making you more money than perhaps your egg enterprise, or looking at, you know, if you're raising livestock, what is that mix between cattle and hogs? So really understanding that business side and making sure people have access to the tools they need. And then also working with our USDA partners and other partners like Ag West, which is our farm credit institution, to help women be able to access capital to expand their farms, access more land to grow their operations.
What, Colleen, was your biggest takeaway from all of this research that you conducted?
One of my biggest takeaways is that, you know, women's agricultural operations are extremely diverse, and that while we see many women operating smaller farms, that might not be by preference. That might be because women have had less access to land and capital to operate larger farms. So oftentimes we talk about women in direct marketing and sustainable agriculture. I think many women really enjoy having a smaller farm, being able to work into direct markets. But I think we need to be careful not to assume that that's a preference for women in agriculture and that we create opportunities for women to be able to farm larger acreages and have commodity farms that are selling into wholesale markets.
So how do women get involved in your program if they're interested? Because I'm assuming you are continuing this program.
Yes, we are. And we have a website. If you go to idahowomeninag.org, you can sign up for a monthly newsletter that we offer. And you can also go to cultivatingsuccess.org and sign up for a more production-oriented small farm and ranch newsletter as well. all of our programming is open to men and women. And what we found in our research is that women really do, in Idaho anyway, really don't have a mm-hmm. preference for having an educational programming that is women only. And so I think that's really important to understand, is that we need to have all of our programming open to people of any gender, and that we need to make sure that we market it in a way that women can access that information. So email newsletters is a great way to stay up on the work that we do, as well as we post a lot of different resources in our website and on our YouTube channel, which is under Cultivating Success Idaho.
Well, and also important to realize that equity matters, right? And when you earlier in the conversation talked about, you know, frankly, the unfairness of what female farmers are being paid over male farmers, you know, that's a conversation that we should be having.
Absolutely. We really need to be mindful to make sure that we are having our educational programs, our examples, our marketing really reflect the true face of agriculture. And we mm-hmm. need to normalize succession planning programs that pass land and farming operations to women. We really need agricultural policies that support small and medium-sized farms scaling and becoming more profitable. And I think one of the things that we also need to do is we need to push back against some of the imagery that we might see out there that shows agriculture as being a male profession. And I'll give an example of that. Recently, mm-hmm. I received an announcement of a farm succession program that actually came out of the Midwest, and it showed three generations of farmers, a grandfather, a father, and a young boy. And those are the types of messages that we need to stop. We need to really show that women are part of agriculture and make sure that we show the professional acumen of women in agriculture. So for me, when I'm thinking about my extension programming, I'm very mindful to try to hit the target of 50% of my presenters are women when I bring people in. And I think that's really important, because we know that if you see yourself in those successful positions, whatever the occupation is, you know, if women see themselves as being successful, then they're going to see that as an opportunity for them. And agriculture is a professional opportunity for women.
And Colette, before I let you go, I mean, it really struck me when you talked about that succession planning, when what you saw out of the Midwest with these three generations all being male, is that we shouldn't forget that women have been involved in agriculture really since our country was created.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And women are farm partners, and they operate sometimes the more of the business marketing side of agriculture. And I think one of the things that we need to remember is that farms and ranches are a business. And while we see a lot of that business being done in the field, you know, raising cattle, tilling mm-hmm. the land, harvesting crops, there's a whole nother side of that business that is really looking at the financial management side. It's looking at managing labor. It's looking at planning. And part of that is looking around planning around succession and estate planning. And so the more we look at farms and ranches holistically as businesses, I think the more that we'll see the important roles that everyone in the farm family plays in that business, including women.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with us about this.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me on today.
We've been talking with Colette DePhelps about a research project focusing on Idaho women in agriculture. You can also hear more about the project on the Vandal Theory podcast. We will, of course, put some links on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Chip Brantley, co-host of the NPR podcast White Lies. Before we found the man in Vancouver, before we sued the State Department, before we snuck into the graveyard of a federal penitentiary, all we had were the photographs. Photographs of a group of Cuban men standing on the roof of a prison in rural Alabama. That's this season on the NPR podcast White Lies.